Raven's on meds and he's been acting weird. What are you on? What are they giving you?
I'm on steroids right now, and I'm not like on steroids like, hey, you're going to go be an Olympian for Russia or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to, you know, bench press a truck or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm on meds right now for my back. It's steroids, and it's prednisone, methotrexate or whatever. Yeah. And it gets me jacked. Like, it gets me jacked. I'm on like day three of it right now. And when I take these things in the morning, like, it's speed racer.
Right. I've noticed clearly why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? But why? What hurts that they're making you do this?
So my back is screwed up. They don't know whether or not I slipped a disc or herniated something or busted something or whatever. I'm going for an MRI later in the week. And he gave me this. And of course, now, you know, across America, you know, we don't really give out painkillers anymore because we figured out the painkillers are bad.
Right.
So we give steroids. Now, here's the thing. This steroid that they gave me, I mean, it's got to have something in it because, again, I feel like I'm running a mile a minute right now.
But they told you to separate the pills throughout the day.
Well, here's the thing. So on the package, it says the first day, take three before breakfast, and then, it goes down. Take two before breakfast the next day, et cetera, et cetera. Take two before lunch and then one before bedtime or whatever. That's what it says on the package.
Yes.
I talked to the nurse, and the nurse was like, as soon as she handed me the prescription from the doctor, she's like, don't do what it says. And I'm like, that seems ill-advisable. She said, no. She said, if you take these things after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she's like, no way you'll sleep. And I told her, I was like, I wake up really, really, really early. You know, I can't have that or whatever. She's like, no way you'll fall asleep. She's like, as a matter of fact, and it says on the package that the first and second day, you can take them all in the morning if you want. Just be prepared for the consequences.
Okay.
Which is this.
You're just being out of your mind, bouncing off the walls.
I could jog up a hill right now. My heart would probably explode out of my chest.
Certainly.
But, you know, like I could do it. By the way, my back still hurts.
Oh.
Like it has not solved that problem.
So then why are you taking it?
Well, I have to take that because that's what the doctor told me to do.
Okay.
I mean, until he tells me not to take them, I have to keep taking them. But I take them all in the morning because if I don't, I'm going to forget.
Now,
so I take all six. So today I'm down to four. So okay. Now I took four this morning
I think I need to stop.
The first day, they told me that, you know, take six that day. They were like, no way you'll sleep. I took the first three in the morning. I felt like I was on the tip of a rocket.
Yeah.
Then I took the second three right before lunch and fell asleep within 10 minutes after that. That's how tired, you know, we get.
I feel like there's probably something wrong with your body.
Yeah.
And the way that you're reacting to this is not normal.
Sure.
And did you tell them that your other doctor told you you're not allowed to have caffeine because your head will explode?
No, I left that part out.
You probably should have told them. I feel like that should have been something you mentioned to the new doctor.
Well, I mean, that office is only one building over.
Oh.
So I feel like, you know, in the computer age, these people should know these things.
No, probably not. And you know what? They don't have carrier pigeons anymore, so nobody told them in the next building that you can't have caffeine because you turn crazy like the Hulk.
Here's the thing. Pigeons or no, on these pills, I actually believe I can fly.
All right. So this is going to be a great show. Enjoy it. It's really sad when you think about it. 15% of men and 10% of women say they have no close friends. None.
Wow.
None whatsoever.
That is sad.
It is really sad. And I was thinking about it, and I was reading these stats, and it also said that adults in general, 50% of American adults, say that as you become an adult, it becomes very difficult to make new friends. And it's true.
Well, you know? I think there's a couple different factors here. And, you know, sad to say, but I think these things are actually going to get worse. So the more and more that we have services that cater to ourselves, whether it be our cell phone, whether it be, you know, online or demand on demand stuff, we get more into ourselves.
Yeah.
We get more introverted because the things that I want, you know, I can instantly have them somewhere else, that instant gratification. And the fact is we lose patience and tolerance for people around us and in shared interests with them. You have to invest in your friendships if you want your friendships to do well.
Yeah. And all the science says that it's really important to have friends. They say that the average person should have about 16 people that they call their friends.
Wow.
But 3 to 5 are like your close friends. Like
okay.
Those are the people that you hang out with, that you really talk to.
Discuss things with.
Yeah.
Right. It's something on my mind, I'm going to call them, you know, if I need somebody. Yeah.
But it seems pretty accurate. I remember a couple years ago, Raven, you had no friends. You had to find
a
friend.
That is not accurate.
Well.
But it is true that Anna assigned me to find a friend.
Yeah.
That
and
is
we
true.
Did. And we found you a new friend.
And ironically, he and I remain friends now. We're actually better friends now than we were for the first couple of years. The first couple of years, I think it was more like we were tolerating each other because we both needed a friend.
Right.
And now I think we're actually in a good place. We're actually better friends than we've been.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. it's Anna and Raven. When did you make your last new friend?
Oh, God. Years ago.
How did you make them? Where did you meet them?
It was through a group of Facebook and made what I thought were some close friendships, and they just dissipated by the wayside.
So all of them disappeared? Even everybody in the group? There's not one that you retained?
Not as a close friend, no.
That is sad. Are you seeking out new friends at this point, or have you just decided, like all these other Americans, that you're good on your own?
What?
I would like to find at least, like, my circle. But again, I just turned 50, and it's not easy.
No,
yeah, it's
it changes.
Not.
Yeah, no, it's true. You think it's because you don't want to tolerate other people's, like, habits and things that they're into or whatever, or they don't want to tolerate yours? Do you think that has anything to do with it?
No. I think a lot. Like, my fear of rejection, that, like, people don't want to open up and have that close friendship.
Huh.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call.
It's a revealing
call.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's a valid question. You know, where do you find new friends when you're an adult? How do you do it? 15% of men and 10% of women say they have no close friends, no friends whatsoever.
I mean, it's pretty sad.
It's
We're making
really
light
sad.
Of it, but it's sad, right?
No, it is. It is because, you know, friendships are important. And even psychologists, they all say that on average, you should have 3 to 5 good friends in your life. And over 50% of Americans say that once you become an adult, it's almost impossible to make new friends.
I think over the last year, year and a half, obviously, it's probably been an eye-opening experience for a lot of people to realize, like, this is, you know, a lot of this stuff that we had to deal with the pandemic will be second nature just for the way that we live, the way that we work, the way that people earn, the way that people go to school. And a lot of that stuff will change, you know.
I was trying to think, where did I make my last friends? And ironically, Hayden, my oldest, is 12 years old.
Yeah.
When I had her, she was my first. I joined a mommy group. And there was 12 women in that mommy group.
Right.
I call 3 of them my best friends.
Wow.
And I think, like, that's
pretty good numbers.
Percentage
still.
Wise, it's pretty good that 3 of them, I can literally pick up a phone at any time and call.
There was the last friend that I made that you assigned me to make a friend.
Yeah, I told
who was
you
a coworker that worked here for a while.
And it worked. You guys became friends.
We're still friends now at this time. We're actually better friends now than we've been probably in a number of years, enjoying each other more now.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you make your last friend? How?
So I just made a new friend. I joined an adult social kickball league.
Oh.
And they do all sorts of activities, not just kickball. And we just started a new league this summer, and I've made a couple of new friends on there. I actually, like, see them outside of the kickball games and everything. And
that's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, that's what you have to do. Like, you're putting in an effort. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, sadly, because of my schedule, like often my friends become friends of convenience, like the people that I see. It's like when you're parents, right? You hang out with other parents because that's who your kids are with and that's where your time is spent. But here you are as an adult seeking out an activity. And it sounds like other adults, if I had to guess, in that group are looking for friends, too, because they're like, yeah. Let's do something besides this.
That's really
fun. Kickball's awesome, though.
Kickball is awesome. And you're putting yourself out there. And I'm sure it was hard to walk in the first day, right? Like, not knowing anybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you knew who all the new people were. We were all kind of, like, together, like, hi, I'm new.
Right.
But everybody was really welcoming. And, you know, like I said, after the games, we all go out. And it's just been a lot of fun, you know? Yeah. And it's something to do outside, get exercise, and... you know, meet new people. It's been great.
It's different because you don't laugh at the kid that misses the ball now at this point. You laugh. But you laugh together as a group, laughing like that was funny, instead of, you're never going to be good at kickball, third grader,
it's
never.
True. And now there's beer involved,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it's
now.
Different.
Right.
Yeah.
We can all laugh at how bad I am at kickball now, right?
Yeah, thank
That's
you
cool.
for the call. Have a great day.
And Raven, when'd you make your last friend? How'd you make him?
So I've been attending a yoga class for the past few years, and I always thought our yoga teacher was a little intimidating. But one day, her husband was running late to pick her up from class. So I reluctantly asked her if she needed a ride. So she agreed to it, and I found out that she was a really sweet woman. And now she and her husband and my husband double date at least once a month.
See, that's nice. Shared interests and stuff. I would love it if it got me half price yoga on top of it, but you know, that's just me.
Over 50% of adults say it's hard to make new friends. And it's true. And the sad part is 15% of men and 10% of women say you have no close friends whatsoever.
Wow.
And studies say to have a healthy life, you need 3 to 5 friends. So where do you find these people? 1-800-330-9999. Where did you make your last new friend?
Sitting at a red light. This was a couple months ago. And this woman tapped my car with hers. Pulled over. We decided to keep insurance out of it, exchange numbers, and she promised to meet later to give me some money for the damages, which was, you know, great. So we meet up at a bar. We had a drink and we started chatting, hanging out, laughing. We became so close. I didn't even take the money from her for the car accident because it was like, oh, why would I take money from a friend of mine? It's like a little bit of a scratch and a little bit of paint.
Who meets? I gotta jump in. Like, you're meeting somebody to get money after they hit your car. Who meets at a bar for a drink?
Right?
Right? Doesn't that just seem weird?
Right. You guys must have had friendly exchanges because I'll be like, no, give me my money.
I'll meet you in the Walmart parking lot.
Right. And I'll have two witnesses with me. Right.
I mean, I guess that's the thing is even when the car tap happened, we were both like, she was just so neat. And I was like, you know, so we agreed to meet in a public space and it was just seemed convenient to me.
What if she only became your friend because she didn't want to pay the damages on the car and didn't want to go through insurance?
My second thought.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be so much work. Yeah. Can you imagine?
I have a friend like that. Whenever we go to a bar, it's nice, I guess, as I roll my eyes a little bit, but she makes friends with every girl in the bathroom.
Mm.
It's like by the time we walk out of the bathroom, we have 3 new friends joining us at our table. And I'm like, come on, like
right.
We're 40. Like, let's put it up with us at this
Let's just have our own conversation. Yeah. I didn't get the things out that are on my mind already.
Now I got to listen to this stranger.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you made a friend.
Me too.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. As an adult, when was the last time you met a friend and where?
Well, it's interesting because I had 2 tickets to go to a concert. Right at the last minute, that day, my wife gets sick. She's like, what are you going to do? Just sell the tickets. And I was like, well, I want to go. She finally gave me the okay. And I did one of those where I'm out in front of the show. It's like, extra ticket, extra ticket. And I sell it. And this guy, you know, like we're sitting next to each other. And we had a blast. He liked the exact same unit. We started talking about all this stuff. That was 2 years ago. And now I see Mike basically once a week, at least.
So you scalped a ticket to a concert, and that's you became friends with the guy because he was sitting next to you.
And you both went alone.
Yeah.
Right. It's a good thing you found each other.
Yeah. I wish my wife could have gone, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad she didn't, you know?
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy. It's funny.
Okay. I mean, your wife, I'm glad she survived. She did survive, right?
She did.
Babe, I'm just going to go. You know, it's Jethro Tull. I got to go. Got the tickets. See ya.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you make your last friend?
Oh, my God. I've met one in years. Every friend I make, they complain. They have marital problems. They have divorce problems. They have money problems. So it's never last.
So you meet people and then you reject them as friends because they got too many problems?
I have to reject them because they have too many complaints and we're looking for friends in the life.
Yeah.
Honestly, I live most of my life lonely. No friends.
Well, you can't put up with people's nonsense, on the other hand. I kind of get it.
That's one way to think about things. I don't need your problems. I'm good.
There's a flip side to every coin, right? 2 sides to every conversation.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you strap a baby to you and a baby Bjorn, and you wear your hottest outfit and you wait in line to get into a Vegas bar, that's all I need to know about you.
I lived in Vegas for a while, and this is one of the things that really, really, really bothered me. And the truth is that we have casinos in our area, too, and I'm a gambler. I love to gamble. I mean, you'll hear me talking about gaming all the time. I don't judge people out loud, usually. But what are you doing when your kid's there? What are you doing? Vegas got so confused for a while, like in the 90s and early 2000s, they were like, we're going to be a family destination. I understand that seminars and conventions take place there, but there's no reason whatsoever to be bringing your children to Las Vegas and hanging out with your children in Las Vegas. Now, if you live in Las Vegas, casinos are part of daily life. So if you're out with your kids at 8 o'clock at night, taking them to a movie inside the casino, that's one thing. If it's midnight and you're waiting for your yardstick slushy bar drink and you've got your kids strapped to you at Fremont Street, that's something else entirely.
That's exactly what this was.
Oh,
yeah, we're
disgusting.
We're on Fremont Street. We're sitting at a restaurant, and I always sit next to the window because I love to people watch.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of things happened that night.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But my favorite was the woman who, like, she had on like a latex outfit. Like, she looked good. Like
a latex outfit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But with the baby Bjorn, with the baby, and she's in line.
It's nice.
I was like, doesn't that baby need a bottle?
Yeah.
Like, put that baby to bed.
It's loud there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing where the jets fly over the screen above the area. There's people ziplining, screaming, going overhead. No. Yeah. No. Not a place
a
for a baby.
I made a list of places you don't bring babies.
Okay.
One, movie theaters. Okay.
Good spot.
Yep. Two, any place that requires a harness. As you said, ziplining,
yes.
Bungee jumping.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just because you can strap your baby in doesn't mean you should. Okay.
That should require no explanation whatsoever.
Right. Anywhere that there's weapons, archery, axe throwing.
Yes.
Any kind of event like that.
Also good.
Vegas bars, clubs also round up the list.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's all
I need
to know about you.
If you're dyslexic when it comes to only the turn signals on your car, that's all I need to know about you. So I'm driving in today, and so many of these things have to come around driving. I know. So I try and actually pay attention to things other than driving. Because I don't want to just sound like, you know, I'm always complaining about people's driving. Because I'm not a great driver myself.
You're not.
I'm driving fast. I get it. But the person that is, you know, switching lanes in and out, bobbing and weaving in and out of all the cars, despite not actually getting anywhere faster. And they're using their turn signals for the opposite direction of which they're changing lanes.
That's somebody messing with you,
yeah,
though.
It's like opposite land. That's
yeah.
exactly what it was.
I don't think that's safe and or legal.
No. Of course it's not legal.
No.
It's like, you know, you're playing a game.
In high school, we used to, not me, but we used to do that.
People you knew.
Because we would follow each other from one party to the next party, and
yes.
then it would be like a game because we would put the wrong blinker on. It wasn't a good game. We were dumb. We were 17.
It is not a good game.
No.
No, it's not.
1-800-330-9999. You could always call or text, too. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
The biggest and oddest things happening at the 2021 Olympics. It's Anna and Raven's Japantastic.
Woo! It's Japantastic, Raven.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Two big things happening today that make you go, huh.
Okay.
First is Pink. This is the singer-songwriter Pink.
I saw this. What's going on with this about the shorts? Something about shorts?
Yeah, she's offered to pay the fines that have been handed out to the Norwegian women's beach handball team after they refused to wear bikini bottoms while competing. So they wore, like, the best way I can describe it is like Nike shorts, like the Nike fitted like shorts so that they didn't have to wear the bikini bottoms.
Like boy shorts, like
yeah.
short shorts
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, like board boards. Yeah,
I mean, what's
shorts.
The difference, really? Why does there have to be a uniform?
Oh, there is a difference because according to the International Handball Federation regulations.
Oh, my gosh. How do you even take yourself seriously looking at yourself in the mirror if you're the president of that? Seriously.
Female players are required to wear bikini bottoms with a side width of a maximum of 3.9 inches. A close fit, and they must be cut on an upward angle towards the top of the legs. So when you see those tiny little beach bottoms, like, they're not choosing
you,
to wear those.
I got in trouble walking through my own home
mm-hmm.
because beach volleyball happened to be on in the back. My wife had it on.
Mm-hmm.
She had the beach volleyball on. And
but
she's
you
like,
stared,
what are you looking at?
You stared too long. you walked by, you stopped.
How
you
am I
watching?
Supposed to see who's scoring
uh-huh.
if I don't look at the television?
Are you...
I mean, they're short. They're small. But, I mean, it's no big deal.
I had no idea you were such a fan of beach volleyball that you would watch so intently.
I would say that this is all nonsense. So, obviously, the team is not comfortable wearing those.
No, and they shouldn't be. I mean, I actually
why does it
agree.
Matter? Right,
yeah.
I agree.
Like, if you want to wear, like, the shorts that they're wearing are fine, you know? And, obviously, for the men, they don't have the same rules. They just have to wear things that are not... that are about 4 inches above their knee, but there's no regulations above that. So, whatever.
What kind of nonsense is
it's
that?
It's nonsense.
Seriously.
It's 100% nonsense. And Pink came and she said that she tweeted, I'm very proud of the Norwegian female beach handball team for protesting sexist rules about their uniform, quote-unquote uniform. And she said, The European Handball Federation should be fined for sexism. Good for you, ladies. I'm happy to pay your fines. The fines are about $1,600.
It seems odd to me that anybody would have the right to fine anybody when you're talking about the best athletes of something in the world.
No, it's
like,
true.
We want to see who's the best. That's all. I don't care about your rules. I don't care what length the socks are or the bikinis are. Like, I just want to see who's the best.
Yep. Also, you know who's mad this morning?
Who's that?
China.
Besides me.
Besides you.
Yeah. What's China mad about?
China believes that Western media outlets are intentionally making their athletes look ugly by deliberately choosing unflattering photos of them.
Oh, I know how this is. Everybody has a friend like that. They'll post the worst photos of you on social. Right? How come in every one of these photos I look the fattest that I've ever looked? How come the angle is no good here? If they really feel that way about all their athletes right now, like, good for them for saying something.
Yeah. Chinese Foreign Ministry, through the embassy in Sri Lanka, has complained this weekend that Reuters and allegedly all other Western media outlets are deliberately choosing, like, these pictures that make them look ugly. And I looked at the pictures, and I think they're right.
Reuters, stand on top of a chair. Get a higher angle.
It's not even that. It's like, if you look at the collage of all the pictures of the athletes, like all the other countries, like, they're kind of right. Everybody's smiling,
right.
You know, and holding up their medals
happy
and happy.
Right. Look at the unity here. Right.
And all the Chinese athletes are like, it's like when they're actually doing the sport, they're grunting. They're
It's wrong, man.
It's like you see the veins on their head coming out.
Yeah, when you see that face, you don't even notice the bikini shorts.
Yeah.
You don't even see them there.
So that's why China's mad. It's so funny that this comes up because it's been on my mind lately. Five Calls says it all. Is there such a thing as an appropriate text time when it comes to business? 1-800-330-9999.
Over the past, few months or whatever, Anna, we've seen the Nextdoor app grow like crazy, right, in our neighborhoods. I think it's actually getting ready to go public, if it didn't already do it this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people saying it's going to be like the next Facebook. And to me, actually, it's been bad because it's kind of turning into Facebook. It's more snarky comments to people's posts or whatever, but on there is a lot of people in your neighborhood that might be looking for help, right? I'm looking for my cat. I'm looking for my dog. They might be missing. I need a handyman or something like that. So I saw a post go up the other day, and it just titled, No. And it's a woman who says, very snarkily almost, that she was looking on Nextdoor app, looking to support a local contractor for some work she wanted to do around her house, texted them about a job to do at her apartment with some handyman stuff, and then received a text back from that contractor at 5 a.m. in the morning. And she basically accused that person of pulling all-nighters, that who texts somebody at 5 a.m. in the morning? What are they partying all night? No, this isn't somebody I would welcome into my house. A lot of assumptions going on there, Anna.
Right. So it's interesting because, we work strange hours. So we're up at all random times of the night.
Right.
And I always have this issue, too, because I'll have, like, friends of mine that'll text me at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
You're in bed.
I'm in bed.
You're not answering texts. I'm not responding. That's right.
You know, it's on silent, so you could text me all you want. You're never going to get my attention.
Right.
But I will then get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and text them back, and I think, well, is that inappropriate? And it's one thing when it's your friends. Okay,
yes.
Set that aside, because who cares what they think? They're forced to love
it. Right. That's right. Yeah. They're already in.
But when you're dealing with a professional, when you work a contractor or somebody that you're working with, at whatever your job is,
right,
it becomes a little bit different. Now, here we have our text line at the radio station. It's 1-800-330-9999. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I don't go and actually get to read all the texts until late at night. And then I wonder, I start responding to people, I'm laughing or whatever we're talking about, something that happened earlier in the day. And I think, I'm texting this person at 11 o'clock at night.
They may think you're crazy.
They might think I'm nuts.
They may think you're nuts. Absolutely.
Is there times where it's okay that to regulate when you text somebody back or not?
Well, interestingly enough, again, when it comes to a contractor, my thought is always this, is that get them when it's early. Because if not, you're getting them when it's super late. And if you actually want your job to happen at some sort of time, wouldn't you want the information when they're early? It's bright and early. They can give you an answer. Maybe they can adjust their schedule for the day. Now, crazy second dimension of this, I mean, this thing blew up with like 97 comments where people were like, wait a minute, what are you assuming or whatever? Come to find out, she put a screenshot up, the same person who put the original post complaining about the 5 a.m. text. She had texted the handyman about hanging curtains for her house at 10:54 at night. Right. So now you texted a guy at 11 o'clock at night, and that's perfectly acceptable for you, a client who has no idea what this other individual's schedule is. But when he responds to you first thing the next morning, it's a big problem.
But the flip side to that is like, well, if your phone is just on silent on times when you need it to be silent because you're sleeping or for whatever,
right,
then what's the big deal if somebody texts
you?
I respond when I respond.
You want the service? I'll provide the service. This is how it works.
Raven and I have been mulling over this post that we saw on the Nextdoor app because a woman was outraged that she had texted a contractor to come to her house. Now, keep in mind, she had texted him at 11 o'clock at night, and he responded at 5:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And she thought it was so rude that anybody would possibly text so early. And the question is when it comes to, like, not your friends or your family, but, like, professional acquaintances that you meet along the way, is there an appropriate thing or an etiquette when it comes to the time that you should text?
I'm just going to say that if she had called the contractor, right, or emailed the contractor at 11 o'clock at night, that's a lot different than let me text somebody's personal cell phone at 10:54 at night, even if I'm looking for contracting work. So if you text somebody at 11 o'clock at night and they get back to you the next morning via text 5:45, what's the big deal?
It's funny because here we have our text line at 1-800-330-9999. And sometimes, like, I don't get to the text messages until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Easily.
And then I, like, start responding. And then I think, oh, my gosh, these people are going to think that I'm crazy.
Right.
You know, because I'm texting them back so late.
And it should be noted that your phone is buzzing all night from text messages, too, coming through the text line.
Yeah, it's hard. What do you think? Do you think there's such a thing as an appropriate text time? Or does everybody just silence it and it doesn't even matter anymore? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
I don't think so, man. I mean, people put their phones on silent at night. You know, if you're a construction worker or something like that, you're shooting somebody a text back. Regarding to your guys' exact question, I think that lady's a little bit crazy, but that's just me. You guys have a good one.
I totally, like, I want the text from that guy at any time because I'm desperate for the work to be done.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want the job done. So text me at any time. The sooner you text me, the sooner I can give you an answer back, the sooner we get this handled.
Looking on our text line, texting off hours is a no-no. A 3 a.m. text is a, sorry, your blank is dead. No text off hours. So you're only allowed to text people off hours if somebody's dead. Shouldn't you call them at that point? Maybe leave a voicemail?
I mean, who wakes up for a text message at 3 a.m. anyways? Your phone settings.
Yes, but there's people that, like, never have it off. And I can understand that, like, if you have, like, kids or teenagers or whatever, like, you need to be able to wake up at all times. I think maybe as Hayden gets older, my 12-year-old, I can understand why I would keep the sound on all the time through the night.
I mean, it's a real simple, like, just dive into your settings.
Yeah.
All right? Set it to make noise for your kids and nobody else.
Looking at our text line right now, we got another one that came in that says, if you wouldn't call due to the time, then you shouldn't text at that time either.
What if somebody texts you? Oh, come on!
Well, it's a little bit different. I think a call is different than a text, though, right?
On the one hand.
Yeah. Karen Thomas is an expert when it comes to etiquette. Karen, do you think that there's actually etiquette when it comes to text times?
Yes, there is. Not after 9 p.m. and not before 8 a.m.
But here's the thing.
Business-wise.
Karen, here's the thing, though. If they text you at 11 o'clock at night, like, I feel like, okay, you've opened up the text vortex at that point. If you text me at 10:55 p.m., you're looking for an answer to something that you're curious about. I figure that the sooner I get back to you, I'm doing you a solid. Like, I'm the best contractor you've got because I'm trying to identify and take care of your problem right away. Like, I mean, that's the way I look at it. You ripped off the text Band-Aid.
I agree with what you're saying, but from an etiquette standpoint, in business and being professional, no.
Hey, there you go. 9 to 8 is like the quote unquote etiquette of it.
You got it.
Thank you, Karen.
Have a great day, guys. We'll see you soon.
Talk to you later.
I just feel like business is 24 hours a day.
No, I agree with you 100%, but I could understand some people would be turned off by that.
Badminton? You must be joking. Beach volleyball? Nope. This is the Producer Olympics, and there can only be one champion.
Woo!
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal, Anna Zapp.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on in Tokyo right now, like gold medals and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, not everybody's interested in all of it, but
You know, maybe you're somebody that's dialing in all the time. Here in the studio, we have a short-sighted thing. We only care about our lives.
Right. So we're going to have the Producer Olympics. We have two producers on the show, Producer John and Producer Sean. We're always trying to figure out which one we like more.
Right.
Yeah. So
and it changes. It goes up and down.
So we figured that if we put them head-to-head against each other throughout the Olympics in different tasks, we'll be able to determine which one of them is the greatest producer of all time.
Apples to apples, because, of course, they do have different duties here in the building. So this would make it clearer, yes.
Now, yesterday, Producer John and Producer Sean competed in audio editing, and both of them failed. Neither of them got a medal. They were nowhere near the podium.
They were supposed to take Bohemian Rhapsody, really an amazing song that is nearly 5 minutes long, or longer,
actually. Six minutes.
So nearly 6 minutes long, and they were supposed to take it down to a 20-second edit, a challenge. No doubt about it. John got the 32 seconds. I believe Sean's was 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Right. Both of them failed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, China won the gold medal there. So right. I hope you guys are proud of yourselves.
Story of 2021.
Yep. But here's what's happening today, because today is a big deal. One of the most important things on this show is our need for coffee. We need to have coffee to keep us going at all hours of the day. So Producer John and Producer Sean get coffee a lot.
Without caffeine, this thing just screeches to a halt.
Yep. And we have filled up 2 hot cups of coffee here and set up the studio as an obstacle course. Have you guys been wondering what's happening in here?
I'm wondering what all of this random stuff is and what it's for.
Okay. You guys are going to be competing against each other in this obstacle course. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to start at the chair. You're going to sit in the chair and spin 3 times. Then you're going to bolt around the studio, around the board.
Around the very sensitive tower of electronic equipment.
A lot
of
wires.
You cannot spill coffee on.
Do not spill coffee or jump on the electrical outlets and all those wires over there.
Because, that'd be bad.
Because you're going to kick us off everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Technical terms is the show will stop.
Right.
Cool.
Right. Right. If we go dead in about 5 minutes, you'll understand why. Then you're going to go underneath the broomstick. Like, you can either limbo or you can do an army crawl underneath the limbo stick here that we have that's a broomstick.
It's 2 feet off the ground. How is anybody going to limbo under that?
I have a bad back.
Yeah, then you have to go over the box.
Right, that's then 2 foot jump.
Yeah, 2 foot
over
jump.
Over the box.
Yeah.
And then you have to spin the prize wheel.
Right, because that's an important part of your job. Keep people entertained.
You got to spin the prize wheel, climb through the box down here.
It's not going to fit.
And hit that bell. Hit that bell.
Wants you to shimmy through the Kleenex box, which I don't actually believe an individual can fit through, but she would like to see that part too. So
here's the most important things. You're going to be judged on 2 things. One is going to be time, and second is going to be how much coffee is left in your cup at the end of the obstacle course.
You know, I wonder, Anna, is it going to be better to be first on this one to, you know, take the first shot at it and have the energy high, or to learn something from the mistakes that the first person makes? I'm not sure. We need a coin to figure out who's going to go first.
All right. Well, we're going to do all of this, and it's coming up next. Producer Sean versus Producer John. Every day it's a new task. Only one of them can be the victor. Only one of them can be a gold medalist.
Yeah, here's the thing. Both of them failed yesterday. I guess John failed less, but I mean, I don't think either of them get any points for that. They weren't able to complete it. Today,
no.
Obstacle course here in the studio to figure out who would actually be able to get us coffee here to the studio.
Right. So if you missed it earlier, our obstacle course is consisted of limboing under a broomstick that is about 2 feet off the ground, jumping over huge boxes, spinning a prize wheel, spinning on a chair, and climbing through a Kleenex box that I think is probably appropriate for a toddler to fit through.
I mean, that thing isn't even 2 foot by 2 foot, and it's laying on the floor.
It's true.
It's going to be difficult for these guys to get through there.
All right, let me see your cup of coffee, John. I just want to make sure it's hot enough.
All right.
Yeah, that's a hot cup of coffee.
It could be hot.
All right, let's flip a coin. John, call it. Is it heads or tails?
Tails.
It is heads. That means that you're going to go first.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to get in position with the hot cup of coffee. Wait for me to say go, and we're going to time you. Remember that you are going to be judged on 2 things, how much coffee is left in the cup at the end of your time and your actual time. Ready?
Woo!
On your mark, get set, go! Go! He looks a little shaky. He's coming around the corner. He's coming around the corner with the hot cup of coffee.
Under the low beam. He knocked it off.
That's
a point deducted.
He's got to start over.
He went 1 foot over the box.
No, he's got to start over on the broomstick. He knocked the broomstick down. That's a .3 deduction. That's like when the swimmers make a big splash.
Right,
Go. Spin the prize wheel. There we go. All right, good. Go through the Kleenex box. Go through the Kleenex box.
God!
Am I stuck in happened there?
What's happening?
Oh my gosh, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Chaos.
That was chaos in here. That was just screaming and chaos. His time was 48 seconds.
I mean, he's covered in coffee.
I mean, there's a good amount of coffee still in here.
We could still make it another break or two. We can have another.
All right, 48 seconds. You lost about one third of a cup of coffee. All right, producer Sean.
I mean, Sean, you got to see how he did it. So I'm thinking that you could probably do better at this point. But we're going to find out now.
Okay. All right. Three spins on that. Make sure you count three. Are we ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready on this end.
On your mark. Get set. Go. Go, go. Here we go. Let's go. Spin
it's one. Spin.
One spin.
Oh, don't get hung up on the wall. Two spins. Oh, that second spin was five. Oh, three spins.
Go.
Oh, he took a sip.
Why is he drinking our coffee?
What was that?
He put the coffee in his mouth.
Oh, no, the broom's on the ground.
Get the broom back up. He crawled under. 2 foot jump over the box.
Two foot jump.
He galloped and he hit the surprise wheel. He's doing good on time. But why does he have our coffee in his mouth?
Crushing the time-wise.
Watching him go through the Kleenex box.
He made it through.
He made it through. He's got to be completely out of the...
All right. Oh, I mean, you definitely smoked John on time.
No, ew. He spit the...
Yeah.
He spit the coffee back out.
Is that what you do with our coffee?
Is that what you do with our coffee?
Maybe.
That's disgusting.
Why I probably have more than John does, though.
I mean, he didn't spill it because he held it in his mouth.
How do I have, even after the time of knowing that Sean came out first, more questions than when this thing actually began?
Ew.
Oh, man.
So Sean won on time, but he spit our coffee back into our cup.
I think we've used this as an example of what not to do.
Right. John, you win. Don't drink
what?
The coffee.
What?
John wins. That's it.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Bob and Kristen. Kristen, let's start with you. What's going on?
We have a son. He was bullied a lot at school before the pandemic. So in a way, the pandemic's been really good for him. He got very comfortable. He's more confident, more engaged with his lessons. It's been great. But now all the kids are going back to school, and we are understandably a little bit worried.
So he became more confident because he was working remotely the whole time.
Right.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, that's terrible. And have you talked to the administration and the teachers about this prior to the pandemic and being home?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's, you know, boys will be boys, and it's a different sort of development, and they insist that it's not as bad as it has been for him.
Okay.
I always found this amazing, right? How adults tell us that it's not as bad as it is, but, you know, obviously they're not in the minds of kids. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones dealing with it. You know, toughen up. You got to deal with it or you got to learn. It's just a terrible way of thinking. How old is your son?
He's 8 years old.
Okay, so what's the issue here? He doesn't want to go back into the classroom? What's happening?
He's nervous about going back, and we're trying to come up with some coping skills. He does need to be able to stick up for himself and assert his personality a little bit more. And I have some ideas around that, but his dad has some different ones.
Bob, what's your idea?
Well, I'm just thinking he could do a little training, like karate, martial arts, to learn how to defend himself, just to get...
Basically, he wants our son
rolling.
To get into fights every day. He wants our son to
Hold
be
on, Kristen,
into fights.
Let's hear from Bob on this before Kristen... I mean, I understand it's emotional, but he didn't interrupt you. So
it is. It is. Look, I don't think that he's necessarily going to get in fights. I mean, martial arts are about defending yourself. You know, didn't you watch The Karate Kid, honey?
We watched Cobra Kai. We're
Remember,
aware of how it works.
Wax on, wax off. So... Look, I just want, we want to keep that confidence rolling, you know what I mean? And just to make him aware of his body, to find that inner strength, it's concentration, it's built. So, you know, not saying that he's going to put kids in a hospital or start fights, you know, I just want him to have a little prowess on his own. you know.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? You're talking about confidence. You're talking about discipline. I mean, karate is a lot more than fighting. I mean, if you listen to Mr. Miyagi, you train so you don't have to fight. Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, I can't believe that you've missed the first three seasons of Cobra Kai. But, right. I mean, obviously there's some work to be done on your side as well.
Kristen, why would you have such a problem with your son taking karate if he's into it? I feel like it's a character building, like, confidence thing.
I mean, if he's being pushed around on top of it.
Well, the thing is, he has expressed no interest in learning any martial arts. And it's violence. It's violence-based. You want to teach him discipline and awareness of his body? We could put him in a ballet class, and that would do the same thing. It's this idea that boys have to go into these violent sports in order to be body aware and confident. I don't think it's the way.
Okay. Let's see what our audience has to say.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Bob and Kristen's 8-year-old son, he got bullied a lot at school, and he really loved the pandemic, honestly, because he got to work remotely and he didn't have to deal with other kids. But now that he's got to go back to school in the fall, Dad says, now we're going to sign him up for karate. He's got to learn to defend himself.
Yeah, it's one of the worst feelings ever, right? To think about the, you know, your child being in a situation where you can't defend them, you can't stick up for them, and they can't stick up for themselves. It's mm-hmm. a terrible situation. Bob thinks, let's teach him some confidence, right? Let's get him in karate. Let's get him in martial arts. He'll work with a class and instructor and feel better about himself. Kristen thinks that leads to violence, and it's just not an acceptable answer for her.
Right. She says, well, what's the difference? If we can teach him confidence, he could take a ballet class. Why does it have to be something violent like karate? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
All right, I'm on Bob's side. Clearly, this mom, I don't know what she's doing. She wants the kid to take ballet. What, is she going to have the kid spin on his tippy toes to make the bullies dizzy and fall over? It's insanity. It's insanity. Bob, you need to step up, teach your kid to fight, tell him if he punches a bully defending himself and he gets suspended, you're going to take off from work, take him fishing, take him for pizza, take him for ice cream, whatever it is. But do not let her teach your kid how he should be responsible for protecting himself. It's insane.
On the one hand, I totally get what he's saying there. And he's trying to support his son as being a strong dad. On the other hand, it's totally fine, obviously, for their son to take ballet, too, if he has interest in that. But it's probably not going to help him with this situation.
It's a situation you don't want to be in, that's for sure. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Bob and Kristen's 8-year-old son got bullied a lot. And actually, he loved being remote during the pandemic and not actually going to school building and seeing these other kids.
Imagine that, right? Feeling so bad about going into... I mean, if you were ever bullied, then you remember that feeling is walking into a room or getting on the bus or whatever. It's a terrible feeling. And most people have gone through that at some point in their life, right? Yeah. And you never forget that.
And he has a lot of anxiety about going back.
Sure.
And so Bob, Dad, says, you know what? We're going to sign him up for karate. He's old enough. He needs to learn self-defense. It'll be good for him. But Kristen's not on board.
Yeah, Mom thinks that this is just a path to violence here. It's like, what you're saying is that anytime somebody bothers with him, he should get into a fight. I think that she's missing kind of the point of karate. I don't know.
She clearly has never seen Cobra Kai or Karate Kid.
I mean, you need it, man. Season 4 is going to be coming, and you got to be ready for Season 4.
But what do you think? Is it trying to teach him violence? So whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I am definitely on the father's side, 100%. I have a son. I was definitely a little handsy in school. I was always defending my friends who were smaller. Being picked on sucks. And having a friend who has your back is also is awesome, but not being able to defend yourself makes you feel like a mouse. It makes you feel like there's nothing you can do for yourself. And that's a terrible feeling to go through life like that, being able to help yourself, whether it be being able to beat someone up or just having the feeling that you can. It makes you feel powerful. It makes you be able to feel like you can defend yourself. And you know what? And a bully shuts down the moment that you defend yourself.
Usually,
They back down.
Thank you for your call. I think it's good for people to hear that, right? And it's also good for people to hear that, like, hey, she's going on. Things get better, right? But you have to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Well, I guess I'm on the dad's side. Well, I just feel like I am a teacher, so from that point of view, at 8 years old, you experience a lot of things, and it's very, like, detrimental when it becomes further in life. So if he's getting bullied now, he's going to have extreme problems when he gets older. And if he knows how to defend himself, then that's a beautiful thing. if he's antagonized in a situation, what is he going to do? He can't defend himself. So it's super important for him to defend himself, have confidence, and take away that anxiety that's making him maybe clam up a little bit, that's making the bullies antagonize him even more.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bob, our audience agreed with you. Karate is meant to build confidence. And if you think that your son would benefit from this, there's nothing wrong with signing him up and having him try it out. You could reassess if he's happy or not, you know, a little bit down the line. But, Kristen, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. And, I you know, we're not going to rush things. We're just going to take a little at a time. And I totally hear what she's saying, you know. But great. I'm glad that people agree.
We can't not try things just because we don't, you know, warm up to the idea right away. I mean, Kristen, the very fact of him going into a karate class, there's other people in the class, right? And it's just like starting a camp or a new classroom at school, whereas he's going to have the opportunity to meet people, forge new relationships, work towards a common goal. Like, those things are typically good, you know, for team building and for individual confidence. I mean, he may end up liking it. Then again, you might be right. He might hate it. But at least if he tries, then you guys could have some progress, maybe.
Yeah, we agreed that we would let this stand, so we will give it a shot.
All right, well, best of luck. And if anybody else has an issue, send an email to couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Nothing worse than having to watch your kid go through something like this.
Nope.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, John, you're up. $700 on the line today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, John.
All right.
Thank you.
He's walking on out of here. When that big door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, this $700 is all yours. You ready?
All right. Yes, I am.
Number one, Warner Brothers is giving life to Yogi Bear, Boo Boo, and the rest of the gang with a new reboot series for HBO Max that launches this week. The HBO Max version has the same name of the park where Yogi lived in the original. Where's that?
Oh, that was Jellystone.
Number two, horror doll Chucky is getting his own TV show on Sci-Fi Network. Chucky is what brand of doll?
Good guy doll.
Number three, Thomas Rhett says that he's afraid of spiders, roaches, and being alone in the dark. What children's author wrote the famous book The Very Busy Spider? And here's a hint. It's the same author that wrote The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
I have not a clue.
Number four, Heather Locklear is making her comeback in a Lifetime movie. She played Amanda Woodward in what 1990s Fox drama?
Don't know that either.
And number five, Diane Sawyer says she's in to date Ted Lasso following a joke on the Apple TV comedy. Diane Sawyer was the first woman correspondent on what show that for 33 years ended with Andy Rooney giving commentary?
Was it Good Morning America?
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, John only got 2 right.
Not too good, Joe.
Yeah.
See how I do.
They were tricky today. Number one, Warner Brothers is giving life to Yogi Bear, Boo Boo, and the rest of the gang with the new reboot series for HBO Max that launches this week.
Oh, okay.
HBO Max version has the same name of the park where Yogi lived in the original. Where's that?
Oh, gosh. It's one of 2 parks, right? So I'm going to just say Yellowstone.
No, it was Jellystone.
Oh!
Number two, horror doll Chucky is getting his own TV show on the Sci-Fi Network. Chucky is what brand of doll?
He's a good guy doll.
That's right.
Yeah, named Buddy.
Yep. Number three, Thomas Rhett says he's afraid of spiders, roaches, and being alone in the dark.
Okay.
What children's author wrote the famous book The Very Busy Spider? And here's a hint. It's the same author as The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Just passed. Roald Dahl, right?
No, Eric Carle.
Yes, just passed.
Number four, Heather Locklear is making her comeback in a Lifetime movie. She played Amanda Woodward in what 1990s Fox drama?
Melrose Place, Smoke
That's
Show.
Right, you guys are tied at 2.
Smoke Show.
Number five, Diane Sawyer says she's in to date Ted Lasso following a joke on the Apple TV comedy series.
She wishes.
Diane Sawyer was the first woman correspondent on what show that for 33 years ended with Andy Rooney giving commentary?
That's 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes is correct. John, I'm sorry. He beat you 3-2 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is John, and I cannot beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, John. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. 800 tomorrow, Anna.
That's a whole lot of cash. Get ready to play. Get ready to beat Raven.